Woodstock, day two. I'm glad to see this guy over here brought his date for the pay-per-view. A lot of sex going on with Plastic Woman over here. Hey, a local guy who has made good, a native of Frankfort, New York. He's from the Emmy Award TV show, Frasier. Say hello to Paul Cusimano. Paul Cusimano, made good, Frasier.
Hey, fucking guys on a rock, man. Oh, come on, you're making me proud of me. All right, you want to rock? All right. Get ready, give it up, man. From Detroit. Rocking as motherfuckers in business today. The devil without a cause.
TC and Jake.
It's a Friday. You could watch the whole set tonight if you want to. It's on YouTube. Kid Rock. Live from the East Stage.
I mean, it feels like you could do that any day.
No, you can't do that any day. Weekends only.
Not on a Tuesday.
You got a family, dude. Be considerate.
Fair enough.
Dads can't watch Kid Rock on a Wednesday night.
Fair enough.
That's out of bounds. That's the kind of stuff we left behind in college. I don't have an end to that sentence.
That's totally okay.
Yeah.
I know that I told you about 20 questions the other day.
Did you?
Did I not?
If you did, I've already forgotten. I'll need something to refresh my memory.
I may have just told Dan about this. So, okay. So we are right in the thick middle of something that you've been in for like 3 years, which is my daughter no longer sleeps in her bed.
Yeah, a lot's changed for us, and I was about to call it progress, but I don't know that I can. Back to you.
Yeah, like... when you have the suffix pro.
I would just say the changes have happened. I don't know that I would call the state of affairs
has occurred.
I wouldn't say that it's better. I'd be hard pressed to say that it's better, but
yeah, so we're looking at about 4 to 4:30 in the morning, which actually I would say is progress.
Yeah,
so typically what happens is Kristen goes in there and she knocks out like the first 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go in and I close things out.
Okay.
And when I go in,
I thought four is just the pop out time for you in general.
It's not that far off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I go in, we get a game called 20 Questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that, like, my mom must have initiated this. Like, I don't know how she came up with this number.
I mean, I've heard of the general, you know.
Of course, yeah. But I didn't introduce it.
Yeah, yeah. So probably your mom. Somebody. School.
Yeah.
Izzy now watches. She's been asking. Megan just found it. She's been asking for an episode of Pink Panther because they watch it at school.
Yeah.
It's like, how does something, this stuff get in there?
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so she says 20 questions. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, I'm down. And the first question was, why can't you have two wives?
I'm at the same question back to you. That's what I've been asking.
You know, I thought about it for a second and I was like, that actually sounds terrible.
Well, with all due respect, I wouldn't
Go on.
Don't just double yours.
You have some variability, like a...
If you're going for multiple wives, and this is not the direction I've gone in, it's not a direction I advocate, I think that you've made the right choice. But if you want multiple wives, you want
some
meek, some submissive.
Yeah.
Just someone who's with the program, not someone who's writing the program.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
If you just had double the people being like, "That's don't do it that way," that doesn't sound. You want someone who's reserved and slow to maybe, you know, edging on scared of suggesting. Okay.
I think
that the history of men with multiple wives will tell you that's generally the form that it takes. That's what you're going
for. You know, what's interesting about that is that it feels like in that case, you typically get like five scared ofs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You can't have one ball buster in there. She's dude, the second that the rest of them, the other four, see that that's on the table, they're like, how come I can't do that?
It's like roosters.
Yeah, you don't need fucking Spartacus in the harem.
Fair enough.
I'm sure I told you about this when it happened, right? But I met a member of the what was it again? Warren Jeffs. I met a member of the Warren Jeffs cult. I follow her on Instagram now. I met her because she's an Instagram model.
And, Success magazine?
No, this is one of Michael Surtain's friends. You'll be shocked to learn. So yeah, I was at a bikini competition at a Vegas pool that Vegas Mike was hosting. And, you know, one of the ladies was, it was whenever Jordan and I went to go see The Weeknd. And he was like talking to one of the lady. He was like, "Where are you from?" And she's like, "I think it's called Colorado City, Utah." And we had recently watched the documentary, so we knew that's nothing but Jeff's people. And we were like, does that mean you're part of the cult?" She was like, "Oh yeah." And she'll occasionally on Instagram post like her, you know, is like a 19-year-old in a ankle length denim outfit.
Yeah.
And heard the talk then in the, you know, like she's obviously in the like farthest reaches of most independent of the cult members, you know? Like it's tough to go from head to toe denim to a small bikini in front of a, you know, the Wet Republic pool goers. So like she's stepped way out there and like, you get the energy of like, she's looking for some kind of strong male figure to give direction. Craves.
That's tough. That's tough. Yeah. Our banker.
Go on. Oh yeah. Yeah. Dan told me about that. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it, for the crossover listeners, like they're very aware, but, yeah, our banker, she's a Chase banker, and she will just tell you about her cult upbringing with really no prompting.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was on a path of self-discovery, and like it was a lot of times, and boy, we're about, I'd say, 3 hours away from another path of self-discovery. A lot of times whenever I've had a long week of Ubering, I'll decide to follow that up with a path of self-discovery. And it's like incredibly helpful for processing the things that have happened. You know, like if I just go on a path of self-discovery and then think about like what happened in the week, it's like new things, new ways of understanding it, new like all the stuff that happened to me that like I can feel it, but I don't understand it. I start to understand it then. Like, I think that's what all of us like you in every day, like you're encountering tension And like, and this job brings a lot more of it than regular life. But you still, of course, you know, like someone just seems like kind of a dick at the checkout line, whatever. Like, you know, you get all that stuff and like you don't stop and think like, why is this bothering me? What effect is that this having? What does it connect to? It's a tension that I've experienced before that like it's bringing back up. Like, you know, you just fucking go on about your shit, right? And
of course,
it's very helpful to go on a path of self-discovery and like just kind of ask those questions. Be like, why was I feeling that? And one of the ones that I like, one of the reasons why I think that it is in some part difficult to just encounter strangers a lot is in not even in like my particular, I think with everyone, I think it is a difficulty. And like, obviously we all live with this, that like, you can't tell someone your entire life the first time you meet them, you know, like you want them to know every time someone's mistreated you, every difficult thing you've ever done with, so that they can be like, oh, you know, that, I'll watch out for that. You know, like, I get it.
Right.
And so like, I was just thinking about, I was like laughing, thinking about every time someone got in the car, just turn around and be like, when I was 14, two people showed up, they put me in a minivan. I didn't see my family again for 2 months. I didn't see my home again for 2 years. And like, but I don't do that. You know, like I don't ever, like I've accepted we're not getting anywhere near that. So like, we might as well not make it weird, you know,
like, dude,
just shut the fuck up.
So it's so crazy. Like, I just had this conversation with my mom, like literally half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And, she was telling me that she was with my stepdad and my daughter. They picked up a homeless person.
Oh my God, dude. No way. What? Hypocritical.
Yeah.
Tell me now, everything.
There were two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And my stepdad is a very physically imposing person.
Depends on how wiry this homeless guy is, you know?
And like, she was like trying to prepare me for the idea that I was going to be told about it.
So did she remember the initial incident?
That's when I brought it up.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, doesn't sound like me. I think I would have been fine with it. I have a good Christian heart.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, no, Mom. That 100% happened. And after like 2 or 3 minutes, the memory was jogged.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. You guys did pick up a homeless guy.
It came back up. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was just...
Yeah, any of those, funny. I guess it's not every single time, but the vast majority, like you've brought that up many times over the course of me knowing you. It's clear to me it's one of the things from your childhood that really stands out. And I do notice that like the through line of those things like is that your body was in, I don't know about fight or flight, but like a heightened state of awareness, you know, like it's like, all right. Is a strange, potentially dangerous human in the vehicle. Let's start recording a little harder than we normally record.
Yeah, and like, to be honest with you, like some of it isn't even like a mental fight or flight. Like,
yeah,
I really do wish that my mom and myself could go to therapy and just talk about like, you know, what was this like?
Yeah. I've also considered that.
Oh, I know you do for sure. But like, I was talking to my dad about it. Nah, I'm definitely not going to do it. But
yeah.
I was talking to my dad about it the other day, and he was like, "You know, I said to him, I was like, do you agree with me that like it was pretty traumatic?" And he was like, "It was fucking insane." And I'm like, okay, well, if at least one other person can provide me with the validation of the idea that it was in fact insane, that feels good to me.
The homeless situation in general Or like, or the homeless situation in specific, or like your home life in general during periods?
The latter.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. I don't know if he's ready to announce this or not. I won't get into the specifics, but Jordan has been contracted by an establishment to host a regular thing, and I've been trying to make some flyers for him, and so I've been doing a lot of I love AI art. Love AI art. Because I've always...
Ooh, street team type thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm going to be the street team.
Yeah.
And I would assume that you have a similar... Probably everyone who can't draw has at least one instance of this. Of like, there's times where I'll have something pop into my head where I was like, if I could draw that, that'd be so fucking cool. But I can't, so it just like leaves my head. And now... I can type it into a box, and if I do enough massaging and it's the right kind of thing, I could possibly get a visual representation of what I'm talking about. But I had one pop into my head that I definitely could not use AI art to generate. And so I just wanted to describe it to you. And maybe there's a listener out there who has the artistic skills to render it, or maybe the most that it ever does is just exist as a verbal explanation on this podcast. But I was thinking about maybe it's on a shirt, maybe it's a poster. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But you know, like the In My Blank Era stuff? Have you seen those? Like In My... It's so fucking... Like, it's bothersome to me that they always don't really seem to think much about the, like, base thing. Like, because the one I saw that, like, really stood out to me that bothers me is someone that was In My Teacher Era. And like, is that an era? Like, it's your job. It's like during the time that you're doing that job, I guess that, but like
right.
Most teachers do it their whole lives, not their whole lives, but it's a 40-year period. I don't know.
It's not specific.
It's not very specific at all. It just kind of feels like you wanted to say you're a teacher and you wanted to like have a Taylor Swift theme to it.
Right.
And that's lazy.
Is that a Taylor Swift thing?
I think it's Eras Tour related, although I do think about this so much that I do wonder, like, does it predate that? Is she riding that wave or did she create that wave? I don't know. Or, like, are they just separate things that just share one word and it's, like, not that big a deal? But I feel like it's in reaction to the tour. I think the most likely explanation, because, like, you know, when Quick Trip has, like, a In My Croissant Era billboards, they use the Eras Tour like branding kind of stuff. Okay. But the particular t-shirt I've saw, and I feel like I've seen a lot of this kind of thing. I don't remember any others than like In My Teacher Era, but I've seen that general format a bunch of times. Those will not be like Eras Tour specific because they've always got like that real Greek, like groovy 60s lettering and says In My Whatever Era. So it's got that, and then it's just got, like, some pictures around it of, like, motifs. And it's kind of like you've seen those shirts that have come back real big that kind of look like a No Limit Records album cover sort of thing.
I've not.
Like, or it'll be, like, someone's name real big, like, you know, Elaine from Seinfeld or something. And then it'll have, like, four versions of her face. Instagram's always serving this to me, and I've started to see people actually wear them out in the wild.
Nope.
Okay. Well, these like used to be big in the 90s, mainly with like Deion Sanders. Couldn't you see like a shirt where it says like Deion Sanders real big? And then there's like four different poses of Deion kind of doing things.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's got the groovy lettering and it says In My Lamar Odom Era. And then on the bottom is like a double wide trailer in the desert. It's a brothel. And then like on one side, it's like just like the elbow of an arm, just like starts at the middle of the top of the arm, goes like middle of the bottom of the arm, and it's tied off. Maybe someone's doing the tap I don't want it all the way in. I don't want a needle in the picture. I feel like that's too much. I get squeamish about needles, so I wouldn't wear that shirt. But just the tied off arm, I feel like that'd be good. Real mid looking stripper on the pole. And then maybe like a deflated basketball. Or like, you know, like maybe his face or something.
That's not good.
I think it is good. I think it's a good idea. I think if people wore that around, they'd think that was, it was kind of fun. You wouldn't wear that? I think
that seems like really rude.
Well, you know, it happened.
Yeah, but I mean, you're he's celebrating gotta own it. Somebody's.
He didn't die.
Yeah, but I mean, he had a hard time.
Big Dick Hunter shocked him back to life.
Okay.
He did. He was the one to find him, dude. Wasn't he?
I know that he was the one who found him, but.
It's so fucking nuts.
All right.
I don't know. You know, I can see that you're not in the space to enjoy this, but I think there's other people out there who are.
I just mean that he had like a bad day.
He's having a bad little stretch there for sure.
No, and you know what's actually true is that I think he's doing like way better now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're such a dick.
I think he has like a string of rehabs. So like that's the doing better. But like I can't tell you how nervous I get. And I mean like obviously it's my own baggage. Maybe he's doing it the exact right way. But it's just easy for me to imagine anyone walking into rehab looking around and being like, "You charge $30,000 a month for this? I could kind of be on the other side of that. I could cash $30,000 checks and feed them ramen. That'd be good."
Depends on where you are on the whole deal. I do want to mention this one thing to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What if Trump wins?
Polls indicate likely.
I know.
Yeah, no, I was having a fun time with it until that Time magazine article.
Right.
I didn't even read the article because like I saw like the one thing that people pulled out and I was like, I'm not proud of how I was in 2016. I think I took everything especially looking back, you know, like whenever Henry dies, I'll probably be less messed up than I was on the night of the election. And like, that's fucking insane. Like I was embarrassed immediately. That's why I didn't want to publish the episode. And the embarrassment has only grown since then as you like watch the presidency unfold and like there's a lot of non-optimal decisions, but like, you know, I don't and I've heard everyone's arguments of why it might be worse the second time around. Probably right. But like I don't it still doesn't justify how I was about it. So I'm running the other direction of like, you know, this is all just fun. I'm certainly going to vote for the other guy, but like we're having the good time. This is great. And like, I just read the whole thing, you know, he wants to like fucking disband the National Weather Service. That was the one that hit me for some reason. I was like, so I'm going to have to depend on Delkis for the fucking fork. I can't live like this. I know that Delkis is lying.
Where does he even get his info?
That's a great point.
Nobody knows.
So like, it just suggests everything else, you know, of like, if the fucking National Weather Service is off the table, then like, what else are we doing? Like, are we going to have streets still? Like, I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know. So then I'm back. I'm back like in the fucking crying on the couch because the bad man won. And like I don't like it. I just, to be fair to both sides, I just hope that both of them fucking die. It's easy enough to happen. It's so easy. They've led long, great lives, and it would be totally normal for them to just fucking have a pair of heart attacks tomorrow. And I don't know what we've done to not deserve that.
I don't know. I feel like it's going to happen.
I also suspect it's going to happen, which, like, that's crazy. And, like, you're making me do it. like, how did we, like if he, because the.
I've just been thinking about it a lot. And I, you know, to be honest with you, like, the only reason we ever started the Patreon was like, all right.
Yeah.
We're talking about Trump too much. Okay, so 2017, mid-2017, 2018, whatever, we're like, all right, let's do a different deal.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's actually going to happen again.
Yeah, and like this, a thing that I think gets forgotten is, and like, I know we all lived through it, so like, I'm not breaking news to anyone, but like, the world has just morphed and changed so much since then that it does feel like everyone else doesn't like acknowledge this reality. An important part of like how 2016 unfolded is that right up until like after he won, it was assumed by everyone on both sides there was absolutely no chance that he could ever win. Like the day of the election, there was like a lot of tweets about like people loading things into his like victory party. I think that they were like taking stuff out of the hotel because like their internal polling was so poor that they were like, well, we won't need this for the victory party. Like that was the day of, and then like he won. And so I feel like that there was an element of the voting public that it was like, well, you know, like since the other lady who I don't like is going to win anyways, fuck it. I'll vote for him. Fuck it. You know, and then and like you get that, you know, and this time around,
who could have done that?
No, I wasn't saying fuck it. I was saying, Hill Dog, here, let me give you this alley oop. You know, I'll line you up with the easiest path right to the White House. And no doubt that it was, given the results of the election, you have to realize Marco Rubio would have mopped the floor with her. It would have been an embarrassment. Yeah. So like the only way that we could ever elect someone so unlikable is if it's someone equally unlikable. And like she even got that and was still like, nope, I'll find a way. I'll suck even more. But like it's not the dynamic now. It's like he can definitely be president. Like we know it happened. And like we're all living with the actual thing. And like we all remember how nuts it was. We're just like, hey. Give it another try.
Dude, the craziest part about it is like, you know, referencing like my parents or whatever. Back then, they were like, maybe.
Yeah.
And now they're like, fuck this guy. And yet somehow, he's more popular.
Ahead in the polls.
Like, my parents literally back then were like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we hate the Clinton cartel.
And now
they're like, we hate this guy.
Yeah.
And yet still somehow he's ahead.
Yeah, I think he denies it now, but my dad voted for Bush twice and I don't recall, like, that was, the idea of him voting was a bit weird, you know, like, I've never really heard him express a position or interest in
really
the topic. No, I don't, both of my parents, they, like, whenever you ask them about this stuff, they'll be like, you know, I vote for whoever I think's going to be the best leader, you know, like, and I think they'd, like,
my
mean that
earnestly. My parents went to, fucking... What is the name's guy that Michael Moore?
Michael Moore is a documentarian, yeah.
Yeah, like what is the gun guy?
It's Wayne LaPierre.
They've paid money for that.
To go to see Wayne LaPierre?
Yeah.
It was pretty tight.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like now, like, dude, my dad will sit around and be like, I can't take four more years. I can't take it. I couldn't do it. I'm like,
well, you're going to have to.
Yeah. I didn't know that you knew who the president was. And now you're saying it's like an existential crisis. Like, and I believe him.
Yeah.
Retirement's a hell of a drug, I guess. But yeah, no, you know, the guy that voted for Bush twice is now like, the idea of Trump being back is, you know, I don't know if we're talking move to Canada or just murder suicide, but we'll see, I guess. We'll find out.
You know, it's kind of a funny, this is going to get really heavy. I'm just going to tell you that. You good?
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny, like way that this is unfolded, which is, my dad was like super, super Republican, primarily because of and for economic reasons.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, my brother went and, you know, killed some people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, my dad was like, whoa, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I think that should stop.
I just wish we could reverse the order, you know?
You would think.
Could have saved a lot of lives if everyone you just would realize. Think? This is what Civil War is about, dude. Once you see war, you realize it's actually bad.
Yeah, actually also bad.
Yeah. You might think some parts good, some parts bad, could benefit me. We'll just have to see. Nope. Just
mostly bad.
Mostly bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only bad.
Like my dad called me. I don't know. It was 8 or 9 months into it. And he's just like, oh, phew.
I've made a mistake.
I'm like, this is what I've been telling you.
Yeah.
It's but, not good.
You know, I paid
$100. Not good at all, man.
$100 less a year than I would have.
Right. Right. On my property taxes.
Who's to say which one's good and which one's bad?
Yeah.
So I do have a prepared topic that I wanted to get your take on. Wanted to spark a meeting of the minds, a critical conversation.
Let's go.
I'm going to assume that you guys surely watched and talked about the Brady roast, right?
We did. I watched 3 hours was
it's a lot.
Bit much. I'm going to be honest with you, but
yeah,
I
but watched. Schultz wasn't till the end, and you, I feel like you owe it to him.
I fast forwarded to the Schultz portion.
Have you like ever met him or talked to him on the phone or anything? Do you have any actual?
Yeah, I met him.
Okay.
Yeah, I met him at his show like 2 months ago.
Okay, cool. Nice. That's awesome.
Super, super nice guy.
But yeah, so, you know, it being a roast, of course, a prominent part, Jeff Ross. I feel like he used to always be the host. And obviously, Kevin Hart was the host. So, like, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's a weird thing. When was the roast? Like, we agree that we've gone. It used to be roast was at least once a year, possibly more. And then we went several years without having one at all. And they used to always be on Comedy Central. And now it's Netflix and the Friars Club isn't involved. It's all a little confusing, but, like, whatever, you know. But so he's identifiably enough, like, involved in the whole roast thing. That like he's and like what a I get like it's certainly better than my career to this point, but like something about it seems not ideal, right? Like to only be like the roast guy. Wouldn't you rather be just about anyone else up there? Like just
Jeff
like,
Ross?
Just all it does it's not like he's entirely unfunny. Like I thought his set was good, but like no one ever, like, there's just no appetite in America for just, like, Jeff Ross telling jokes that aren't at the expense of someone who's sitting next to him. And, like, that's weird, right? Like, if he's good at that, shouldn't he just be good? But, like, his most notable project is, like, Netflix's Great Roasts of History or whatever. Like, it's a roast-related project. What a weird career.
There's absolutely nothing incorrect about what you're saying, but he's got to do what he's got to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I think I might just like live in a smaller house and do something that's like a little different than that.
Maybe, maybe.
But anyways, that's not the grounds on which I'd like to criticize him. The grounds on which I'd like to criticize him is that I believe, as best I can tell, he's a big time. So they got away with that, huh? The fact that he's on Netflix is like a featured player. Do you remember the incident I'm talking about?
Of course. He's a pedophile.
I feel like no one else does.
Yeah.
I feel like this. There's certainly no Twitter discussion that I saw. I don't think that whenever people are like talking about the list of the bad men we need to do something about, or like I just don't feel like he gets talked about much with Me Too at all. But it was like definitely a Me Too guy, you know, kind of. I think it was pretty close to whenever Me Too exploded that the lady initially posted Facebook and. In a highly depressing turn of events for a couple years, just no one gave a shit about that Facebook. Like, it's just like, you know, some fucking crazy lady I've never heard of says that she was raped when she was 15 by a famous person we've all heard of, you know, whatever. Like, it just, I don't, there's a lot of things that I will put on Twitter and I'll be like, this is a really good joke. I bet it's going to get like 100 likes. Oh. And then it gets zero.
Like, wasn't she like 18 though?
Well, that's his allegation. So I familiarized myself with the whole thing. Yeah, his story is that, well, there's pictures of them together when she was well under 18. She moved to New York with her dad when she was 15. Her parents got divorced. Her dad moved to New York from like the Austin area. Her brother like was in and out. And just generally, the whole thing seems like a giant mess. And she, I think like upon landing in New York was the story, was like, I want to go see, you know, like I've heard about the New York comedy scene. I want to see this. And so her dad took her to the Boston Comedy Club. And she was just there all the time. And like, the dad was like in the article is like, she's a very independent kid. She was. Half the fucking time she wasn't sleeping here at night. So like, I don't know where she was, you know, like whatever. And so she's just, you know, in a way that is somewhat unique to New York because of the subway system, able to just, you know, the city is her oyster. And gets a job working at the Boston Comedy Club and tells one of the like people there that like works above her, a woman who's like in with all the comics. Like she sees Jeff Ross and is like, he's cute. And the woman communicates that to Jeff. They, you know, exchange numbers or whatever. He says, you know, how about you like come by and we'll, you know, go, maybe we could go to the Comedy Cellar. Maybe we could get a bite to eat. I don't know who knows what happens. She shows up to his apartment. He's like, hey, I forgot my credit card upstairs. So that, like in when they're, this is in the article, her telling, when they're like in the elevator going upstairs to his place, she like, you know, starts trying to make out with him and he's like, hey, there's cameras. Not like you're too young or like, this is wrong. He's like, wait till we get in the apartment. In the apartment, they consummate things and then proceed to have like a regular relationship from then on. And to a certain extent, like this is not where I end up, but like there's, you know, I've got a strain of thought that's like, I know that we all think that it's been wrong to be a pedophile our entire lives. And that is how I have felt. But like, it just, things have changed drastically in the time. Like, you know, famously the big storyline in Old School, the Eminem song Guilty Conscience, certainly most, you know, one side of the song is saying like that it's wrong to have sex with this underage person. But the other side of the song is like, no, it's fine. And I would say like that's where it was, you know, like there was always people throughout my life that'd be like, this is very bad. You shouldn't do it. And then there was some other people that are like, I just don't think it's that big a deal. And so, you know, to some extent, like if the lady is like a, you know, such a eager participant, it's a different situation than like if he had been around her for a long time and like dropping hints and like trying to, you know, just do any of the grooming things, that would be worse. But I still think this is pretty fucking bad, because the thing that's, I mean, beyond like the allegations themselves, the thing that's like the real giveaway about like why this is bad is he was just like over the top in impressing upon her how important it was that no one ever find out about this. Like, he was just grilling her all the time. Like, you can't tell anyone. It'll ruin my career. My life will be over. But I'm going to keep doing this. And so he, you know, this article came out. It was in Vulture. He denied all of it and said that. And so, like, this is always telling stuff. Like, I think about the Michael Jackson denials of, like, no, I never did anything with those kids except sleep in the same bed with them repeatedly in their parents' house. Like, that's your defense? That's the best case scenario is this? So Jeff Ross's best case scenario is that he knew her from the time she was 15 and he waited until right when she turned 18 to begin a sexual relationship with her. Like, congratulations, you've landed on the exact correct side of the legal proceedings, but like, I'm not okay with that. That's not good behavior. And there's like all kinds of instances of people in roasts being like, boy, Jeff likes him young, in a way that like it's obvious that like there's a thing going on. And in the woman's story, how they like first sort of went their separate ways was he would take Polaroids of her naked, obviously. And she was like going through a book of his and some Polaroids fell out. And she was like, oh, these must be the ones of mine. And they weren't of her. And it was a person that also was definitely not an adult. And she asked him about it. And he was like, well, those are my friends. He asked me to keep them. And because like I already had yours in like a safe place or whatever, I could just add them to wherever they already were. It's not that big a deal. Again, you decide for yourself how convincing that is, or like whether or not it's acceptable behavior. Like if someone's like, I have some Polaroids of my underage friend, like to be like, oh yeah, I could find a safe place for those, or to be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? So that's, you know, like that's as full a picture I can paint. Oh, so he made the statement where he was like, that's not true. I was with her the day she turned 18, never before. And was like, I'm going to sue. And then did file suit in like, I think it's like November of 2020. And I just can't find a thing anywhere about anything other than the filing of the suit. It's like, I guess that's how it goes of like, if there's a settlement and like everyone's got NDAs or whatever, like I don't know. Like, I don't think that he would have had a great time. I mean, like, his lawyer's not an idiot, although I don't like I read a lot of it, and the tone I don't think is like doing them any favors. But like, you know, they marshal a lot of evidence. Like, given that I'm pretty sure this thing happened, it's surprising the degree to which, like, her dad, who's quoted in the New York Magazine article, they get him to say that she made him say all that. Then, like, you read back the quotes and you're like, that was a scripted response that your daughter forced you to say? I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think he's lying now, not before. And like the night in question, there was a friend of Jeff's that was staying, like he was from elsewhere and he was staying with Jeff. But like by her, it's like the guy was like, I slept on his couch. So like I would have known if anything like that happened. But like the way that she said it, like, you know, if your friend's over, but like you have a date, wouldn't you just be like, hey, you're in New York, like go fucking hang out with someone else for a couple hours. I got a date and then we'll hang out here after. And then like the second she shows up for the date, within a half hour, the whole thing's done and like whatever. So like, I don't know. I don't think it's like entirely disqualified, but whatever. But yeah, so I'd love to know what happened to the suit. It's really weird to me that there's the news that it was filed and then no news of anything follow-up wise. But like, I don't know, man.
Jeez.
What do you think about the fact that we just saw this guy? Like, I don't, I just, whenever I lay it all out like that, I think that I really want to, like, not, I feel like it's crazy making to, like, stare all that in the face and then be like, it's fine if that guy tells jokes about Tom Brady to everyone. But, like, it's so crazy making that I don't want to adopt that position because then I'll become crazy. But, like, I feel like I can't escape it. I'm trying to find a way to, like, be all right with what happened because I don't want to be the prude who's, like, whatever, you know? But,
yeah,
I have a hard time with it. It seems really, really bad. And, like, it was a while ago. And, like, but with all this other stuff of, like, it was a while ago, if he was, like, man, I was fucked up then, and I was fucked up for a while after that, and it's the worst fucking part of my life, and I live with the regret every day, and for the last 15 years, I've been trying to change, and I don't do that stuff anymore. Like, if that guy's telling jokes on stage...
But I mean...
I can live with that.
He hasn't said that at all.
No, he called his victim a dirty liar and sued her in court.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't just, like, regular dirty lie. He was, like, dragging up, like, you know, her family members have sued her for lying before. And, like, what, especially whenever you, like, hear about the family stuff, it's, like, bringing up anything about her family in public, like, in this kind of way, it just feels very fucked up. It feels like that's a separate, like, I don't want a guy on stage who 4 years ago was using a fucking broken home against someone bringing allegations against. Like, that's shitty behavior.
4 years ago.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I just, the people that, like, this lands on and doesn't land on, like, I don't know, man. I, like, everyone's right that, like, a lot of the people who, like, say they're canceled, you only hear them saying it because, like, they're having very successful careers that, like, whatever. But, like, I don't know. They still do, like, wear it to some extent in a way that, like, I mean, maybe it's just because no one thinks about Jeff Ross if there's not a roast. There hasn't been a roast in a while. But I don't know, man. I it had been, like, in the back of my head, you know, like, because he will come up. You know, I love comedy. And so whenever I'm just hanging out listening to comedy stuff, the name Jeff Ross will get tossed around. And I'll be like, boy, it sure seems like those allegations are true. And if they're true, why is this person not, like, shamed or in jail or both? And now the fact that I saw him a week ago, I don't know.
Now,
man.
You know.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I guess, the first thing I suppose is, you know, you have to prove the allegations, right?
Sure.
So I don't know about that. And I feel pretty ambivalent about that because, you know, I've been watching, like, this Trevor Bowers situation play out online.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no fucking idea what is happening here. Like, there's reporting from both sides and it's like, all right, so this Lindsay Hill person she has her story and Trevor Bauer has his story. And I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I tend to think that he did it and because of the presence of multiple accusers. But
I know, but
it's confusing and unique that, like, each of the accusers appear to have, like, mitigating, like, there's, like, I don't know. I do think he did it, but there's more to give me pause about each of the accusers than I'm used to in these situations. You know?
Yeah. And I in no way want to be like, believe men.
Yeah. Like, you know.
So I don't know if that sounds weird, but it's like, you know, I feel weird about that.
Well, I think that, you know, the people, sociologists have attempted to answer this question, you know, of like, whenever allegations are made, is it more often most of the time they're true or they're false? And instances of people making up allegations absolutely exist.
It's like 10%. They're very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you just like to trust the science, then you should say that most of the time, if someone says something like that happened to them, it probably happened to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of, though.
Yeah. All right. Go Mavs. What are your keys to game 3?
I think you mean game 4, don't you?
No. They've played 2.
I know. It's a joke, TC.
I don't get it.
Oh, last time.
Yeah. All right. Have a great week.
I'll see you, brother.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next, so until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one,
I'm TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.